Good morning. Yeah, let's start off with read Bible verses this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Let's read it together. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and praises God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Okay, these four verses that Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, I urge, that means Paul urged Timothy to pray. So the prayer, he said, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made, you know, for everyone before our Lord. And the purpose for this is, you know, after that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all the godliness and holiness. And then this is the purpose for Christian. And the purpose for the war is that, verse 4, that all men to be saved and come to a knowledge, you know, of the truth. So this is the main thing in this paragraph, in these few verses. When I read the Bible, Paul says, I urge you, Timothy. Like, Bible wants to urge all of us to pray. I have a lot of feeling, emotion on this, because, last month I was in Charlotte and preached. And then one sister came to me saying that if you preach from the Word of God, it seldom touches our heart. You know, you need to preach, you need to say something about, like, more personal thing, like testimony, then it will touch our hearts easier. I just don't know what to answer, because Christians are not very used to read the Bible and respond and, you know, just obey and then saying that, God, this is what you say, I want to do it. You see, many years when I share with different churches about, we Christians, we need to go out from our box and try to love other people, especially those people that we may not know, or they are not in our social circle. So last year, May, when I was in Malaysia, leading a few meetings, and one pastor came from another country, say, Pastor Wong, can you come and help us? So I'm going this year. She said that because our government start, program in the school, that compulsory the older children need to study Quran, and then also need to learn how to pray in the Muslim way. And they say our children, the Sunday school children, they are so confused. When they go to school 5 days, they read Quran and they pray. Of course, most of them, they don't understand, don't know what happened. It's just part of the school syllabus, curriculum. But the parents start worrying. You see, she mentioned to me saying that this something happened that struck the parents' heart, saying that this is serious, we need to do something about it. And they said, can you come and help us? How can we parents, prepare ourselves, explain, what is going on to our children? Okay, this is something that's happening and then affects individuals. And people see the seriousness. People seldom see the seriousness and respond to it when we read the Word of God. And we thought, well, this is just, God's Word for everybody. Well, maybe not necessarily I need to respond very directly. Last year, July, I was in Jakarta, Indonesia. I was so shocked because I went to those churches. The security guard is Muslim, Indonesian. The driver is mostly Indonesian. Everybody outside the church world, they are hired by the church, they are mostly Indonesian. And then when I walked in there, the first meeting was a prayer meeting. The prayer meeting, the night they told me they had 403 people came for the prayer meeting. You know how big is the church. The church is called Greenview. Greenview. In Chinese, they translate Lü Bang. The Greenview is, you know, we have a Greenview over here, you know, not too far from us. It's a huge church. They probably had 4,000 to 5,000 per Sunday, you know, those people came to the service. The Chinese church, I think one of the biggest, largest in the world, the Chinese church. Yeah. And after I preached, they were so amazed. I mean, they were so shocked because they never thought about Muslims. I mean, they are outside the door. They are the driver. They pay them every month. They never thought about the Muslims. They thought, wow, we are Chinese church. We are supposed to reach out to the Chinese. Now you open our eyes saying that Muslims need the Lord. Yeah, the first time we thought about this. But I said, what happened? You see them every day. You never pray for them. You never think that they need the Lord. It was so shocking, you know, experience. So when I showed this video to them, and they said that we invite more people, being sure again, we want more people to see. I mean, this is a statistic, not necessarily everything true. I mean, there's some truth in there. I mean, statistics all depends, you know, they predict something, so. But anyway, and people feel like this is a real issue here, real issue. Because, you know, the Muslims are gaining, like, in population, in power, then we need to do something about it. Okay, I don't say that this is the right, you know, analyze or attitude. But anyway, people feel like, wow, now something is touching our heart. But I just don't understand, because so few Christians, you know, when they read the Bible in devotion time or Sunday service, preaching time, Bible study time, they are touched by the Word of God so deeply as, you know, the example that I share just now. So brothers and sisters, as Christians, if we need to grow in the Lord, be strong Christians, we need to, you know, listen carefully to what God says in His Word. Paul says, I urge. So when we read the Word, I hope that all of us, when we read this, that God wants to just encourage us, urge us, come on, do something. We need to respond to that. We cannot just ignore it like I urge them first of all the requests, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving. We just read through it without any feeling. This is our problem, because when we read the Word of God, we just feel like, well, it's true, but just don't know how to react to that. We need to pray earnestly, brothers and sisters. A lot of things happening. We need to pray. So here say that, okay, can we pray for the kings, for the authority? I don't know how you relate to that. When our President Obama visited Africa, three countries. The first country was Senegal, and then he was meeting with the, you know, President of Senegal in Dakar. Okay. And then I just stopped praying for our President because I was so embarrassed. What happened? Because the President of Senegal stood up and said that, sorry, homosexual in our country is a sin against our law. Obama stood up saying that this is human right. We give the equal opportunity right to everybody. There is no moral sense there. I stopped praying for him. Because what happened? This is how some countries, like, you know, Genesis chapter 17, 18, talking about a city called Sodom. The leaders fell the city, fell the country. Who cared for them? Abraham cared for them. Abraham know that, you know, the messenger, the you know, the messenger or God himself, three of them, they are going towards this country, this city. And Abraham stopped, you know, praying for them, saying, God, if there are 50 righteous men, come on, you know, don't destroy them, don't punish them. Abraham started praying for them. So this is kind of a Christian life when we feel like something wrong. This is not pleasing God. Let's pray and pray earnestly. That's why Paul say, I urge the church to pray. First of all, you know, just request anything you need, bring to the Lord. Prayers, you know, we need to pray for them. Intercession, someone need to be, you know, set free, or, you know, can come out from the darkness and go into the light. We need to pray for them. And then a lot of things we need to thank God for. So we need to thank God for. So brothers and sisters, this is so important. So important. A lot of things we can try our best, but without prayer, without the intervention of God, that we practically can, you know, don't expect much happening. So let's try this morning and start praying for our Muslim friends. Brothers and sisters, because this is good and this is pleasing to our God. Okay. And if we pray for our Muslim friends and more Muslims become Christians, then we will be in a much more peaceful world. The majority of Muslims, they are very gentle, very, you know, very normal people like you and me. There are very few, when I say few, I mean percentage-wise, very few, maybe less than 1%, maybe 0.001%, they are, you know, terrorists. But of course, you know, when the news come up, they only announce those special things. They don't announce the normal thing. They always tell you about, you know, what happened in Boston or in Egypt or in whatever. It's a small group of people that cause a lot of problems. But still, we need to come out from our own comfort zone, and then we need to start praying for them. You know, you just check on the some of the information in America, what is going on. The Muslim community, you know, just cost most of our, I mean, a high percentage of our taxpayer money, because they just sue the government, everything. I think as a result, Channel 10 now, the Channel 10 3, they have a Muslim program for this month, almost every day. Talking about, you know, Muslim worship, talking about Muslim idea, everything. And they are fighting for what? They are fighting for including, you know, Muslim teaching or Quran, whatever theology, into our regular school system. They are fighting for that. They say we have the right. And they want to put up more mosques. A lot of caucus, according to the statistics that I look at, they say they almost, you know, they spend most of our, you know, caucus related those taxpayer money. This happening. We need to pray for them. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not judging them, but we need to pray for them. So brothers and sisters, this is so important. So important. Last Wednesday, I was in Atlanta sharing with the North Church. Last week and this week, they have three short-term mission trips going out. Very mission-minded. And then when I asked them, do you people pray for the Muslim? Everybody just look at each other like, do we have to? Then after I shared and then prayed together, after the meeting over, the chairman of the mission department sit down with me and say, Pastor, thank you. We never think about that. You see, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. So when Paul said, I urge, how many people hear what, you know, God's desire is? It's for everybody. It's not just for our friends. It's not just for our relatives. It's not just for our own people. It's for everybody. We need to come out of our box and stop thinking how God thinks. So brothers and sisters, be a God-like church. Be a world, you know, mission. Christian, with the world Christians. That means we care for whoever. care for whoever. So here, you know, when God say we pray and that please God, that is good, then we Christians have a peaceful and quiet life, then ultimately God wants everybody to know about Him, about the truth, about the truth. So brother and sister, how are we going to pray for the Muslim? You know, this month Muslims spend a lot of time in prayer. What is in their prayer? What are they asking for? They are asking for blessings from Allah. They are asking for, you know, promises, assurance. They are asking for understanding the truth. You see, when they start asking about assurance, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to start praying. If you know a little bit about Quran, you pray through Quran, okay? I list a few verses here. Quran chapter 3 verse 49, you can mark it down. When I say chapter 3, which is not actually correct, in Arabic word means surah. Surah can be mean chapter or being booked, because Quran has 114 chapters, but they have 114 books, because each chapter has a name, like Genesis, you know, like John, like, you know, they have each name. So just one chapter, one book. Okay, chapter 3, verse 49. In there, we pray that when the Muslim read this verse, they will know that Jesus is the only one. It's the only one can save them, because in there, talking about Jesus, He is more than a prophet. He can heal those born blind. His miracle, He has the power to resurrect those people that are already dead, which according to 24,000 prophets in Islam, none of others besides Jesus Christ has the power to do it. So we pray that when people read the verse, Jesus will start revealing Himself to them, saying, I'm the one, because I'm the only way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Only through, come through me, you can enter the paradise, you know, have the salvation, assurance of salvation. So pray for them. Pray for them. And then pray for them when they reach chapter 10, verse 94. That verse saying that Allah told Muhammad, saying that you tell the believers, okay, if you have questions, you ask those people, they read the Bible. This is the verse. You ask those people, they know, they read the Bible all the time. That means if you have questions, go and ask a Christian, because they know the answer. Because they know the answer. This is chapter 10, verse 94. And then, another verse is chapter 4, verse 136. And the verse says, Allah told Muhammad, saying that you tell the believers of Allah that if they don't understand, they need to believe on the Bible. What the Bible says. So when we pray like this, we focus in the Muslim prayer, the thinking, and they will think about, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. If I don't understand, I want to ask the Christian. Hopefully they can help us to understand who is Jesus. Help me. You know, and then if the Christian cannot answer, I need to turn to the Bible and let the Bible tell me what to say. Okay. And then chapter 5, verse 65 and 66. In the Quran list, which Bible you need to go to read. So if the first one is Torah, that means the five first book of the Bible written by Moses. And then Injil, that means the whole gospel, which mainly basically talk about Jesus. Of course, in other verses talk about Jabura also, that means the Psalms. Yeah. So we pray that the Muslim, when they read their own holy book, they will see Jesus. They will see the salvation in there, and they will see the hope. They can be saved. So brother and sister, how are we going to pray for the Muslim? We need to pray more specifically. We pray that through their sincereness about their religion, about their belief, and they highly regard Quran and the teaching from the Quran. So let those verses in the Quran, you know, just help them to realize they need to come before the Lord. This is so important. And this is how Mark Gabriel, one of the very respected Islamic theologians teaching in Cairo, Al-Azhar, the university, the best university in Islamic study. That was how he became Christian. He came to the Lord when he was teaching, and those verses just poke up, and then he was shocked, like, wow, if this is what the Quran says about Jesus, I want to know this Jesus. If you want to see, want to read about his testimony, I have books in my library, in my office. He wrote a few books. Very powerful. So we need to pray more specifically instead of just pray that God save all the Muslims. I mean, well, you know, you give God a real difficult, you know, task, like save all the Muslims. God said, of course I want to do so. But can you do something so we can work together? So let's start from the prayer. Let's start from the prayer. Yeah. So, you know, this is what I want to share with you this morning. And I encourage you to pray for Wing and Peter, because they are in the orientation this morning. They are preparing themselves to go out as missionary, hopefully early next year. And they are, you know, reaching the Muslim in Asia, you know, part of the Asia. So pray for them. And also pray for Sumu and I. We are heading that direction also. And I just feel like we are talking about 1.3, 1.5, 1.6 billion of Muslims, they need the Lord. We just, you know, I just can't stay still. Like I need to move around and shout to different churches, say, come on, let's do something. You know, this is not for me, this is not my burden only, but this is God's desire to see those people, they come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, come to know the truth. So let's pray for them. And also let's get equipped. You know, when I say equipped, that means we get some training. Even though we may not go to the Muslim and share with them immediately, or go overseas and be missionary, but at least we know, you know, where they are, how lost they are, how fearful they are. I mean, they are, you know, they need the Lord, and how can we pray for them? So, brothers and sisters, let's do something about it. And in the past 20 years, there are a lot of things, miraculous things happening in the Muslim world. There are at least 61, according to a newly coming out book, 61 movements. Movement means at least 1,000 Muslim convert and baptized. Okay. And the movement means the missionary went there and, you know, reach out to the Muslim, and Muslim became Christian and teach, disciple them, and the Muslim and the missionary withdraw, and the Muslim converts, you know, Muslim background believers continue on the ministry, and then at least they have 1,000 converts and baptized, and that they call it movement. And in this definition, they count in the past 20 years 61 movement happening. That's much different from years ago. Years ago, when we talk about reaching out to the Muslim, we are thinking about, wow, you know, I don't think the Muslim will come to the Lord. Yeah, and then mention about YouTube. If you watch the priest from Egypt called Father Zachariah, you know, he was on the list that Al Qaeda offered how many million? I think 3 million or something for his head, because he used the, you know, online internet, you know, broadcast whatever ways, and according to the statistic, he bring thousand people, you know, Muslim to the Lord every year, and the Muslim just hate him.
But things happening. So brother and sister, we need to be part of the big things happening in God's, you know, business. We need to be part of it. We don't want to be outsider. We want to be part of it, to be excited about it. And one day when we all stand before the throne, we'll say, hallelujah, God. You know, whatever happened, we are in it. So praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, speak to us so that we respond to the teaching, to your word from the Bible. Respond to what's happening around the world, that we want to be part of it so that we can be there when God, you perform miracle. We can be there to witness your greatness, your salvation, and people turning to you and leaving the darkness and experience, you know, your goodness. Lord, we want to be there. So just help us. Don't sit here and just be comfortable with where we are. We want to move and move forward. We want to move on with you. When the Holy Spirit moves, we want to move with the Holy Spirit also. May you see more people come to the Lord because of our obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.